Book of Genesis, please, chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. There's one thing that never ceases to amaze me, and it's this, that there are so many different accents in the English language, and you're getting a sample of it today. So I hope you can understand what we're talking about. I couldn't have the Canadian accent, and I can't have the Australian or the Scottish, so you have to go from there. All right. We have heard about prayer. We have heard about hope. And now there's another ingredient. I want to challenge all our hearts at the close of this session. Verse number 20, please. Genesis chapter 3 and 20. I want to talk about Eve. And Abraham called his wife's name Eve, the margin living, because she was the mother of all living. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now the New Testament, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I'll just read the pertinent verse. Verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, please, for the next and final reading. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first born, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And the Lord will bless what our brethren have told us and the further reading of his word. I'll do my best to be finished on time. Now maybe, dear saints of God, Eve is one of those holy women that our brother Jim has been talking about. The Bible doesn't call her that, but she's an outstanding person. There are 1,189 chapters in your Bible. And in those chapters, four mention Eve. Four times only in all the Bible. And I want to talk about her for a few minutes. We can look at her historically. I take it she was a beautiful woman, as we'll see. Fresh from the hand of the Creator. Not a wrinkle. Outstanding. Lovely woman. We can look at her pictorially. She's the first bride of Scripture. And then, of course, we can look at her practically. That teaches us some of the basic things that some of our brethren have touched on this afternoon. Now I have seven simple things that I enjoyed recently about Eve, the mother of all living. I'll just mention them, say something quickly about them, and it will be time to go. Number one, her formation. These are all apps that you can take them home with you. There was a moment in the history of the world when she was formed. And then I want to talk about her future. She didn't have a past. She came in a fully matured woman, as we'll see. And then I want to talk about her fall in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. And then I want to talk about her focus. In the first judgment day of Scripture, she listened to the Creator God telling her what lay ahead. Then I want to talk about her family. We read about the first boy born, Cain. And then how her failure is highlighted in the New Testament. We read the two passages. And then her fame, to conclude. 15 minutes. If I have understood it correctly, there was a day in the history of the universe when the Lord God came down into the garden, and Adam was put to sleep, and from his side there was formed a woman. Not taken from his feet that she might be trumped under. Not taken from his head that she should rule him. But taken from his side that she might be affectionate to him and he to her. There was part of a day, I take it was the sixth day, that there was no woman in the world. And before the sun went down in the west, Eve has arrived. How do you understand that? It's not good for thee man to be alone. People think it was years. Genesis chapter 5 and 2 tells us they were created on the same day for formation. Now, I can't develop that. Think about it. It must have been a tremendous experience for Adam. He didn't know what was happening. He was asleep. But it pictures and tells us of the last Adam, the Lord from heaven, who went to the cross and endured the cross, despised the shame in view of his compliment that would be with him forever. What about our future? Well, she had no past. And it must have been an outstanding moment when Eve is presented to Adam, the first woman that ever lived on planet Earth. Now, the Bible doesn't say it, but I take it she was a very attractive female, absolutely perfect from the hand of God. The passage shows there was a marriage. Somebody said, who married them? Likely, the Creator God. And Adam looks into his beautiful bride. I take it, a charming, fascinating personality. And so the principle is established. A man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. That has never been withdrawn. What was her mission? To be a helpmate, a complement to Adam. Now, those are all very suggestive things that we cannot develop right now. How long they're in this condition, the Bible doesn't say. But in the paradise of God, they had times of communion and fellowship together as they moved as one. Sadly, there was a day in the history of the garden, her fall. You ever think about that? People are telling us these days that Adam was standing right beside her. The Bible doesn't say that. And some ask, well, where was she? Or where was he? Well, he was in the garden, somewhere. Bible doesn't say, but he didn't leave until the end of chapter 3. As you all know. And so the subtlety of that person, the devil, Satan. And you know all the details that I can't go into right now. But he set the dear woman up. And the moment arrived when she partook of the forbidden fruit, and instantly she died spiritually. No more communion with our Creator God. Adam's included in all the rest of it. But we're focusing on her. What a tragedy to the creation. And what our brother Jim has been talking about is some of the things that I've been thinking about the world that we live in today. As we look at the different realms of humanity and what's happening all around us, and the tremendous suffering and sorrow and disaster that has come to our world. Eve didn't realize what was happening. But don't forget, Adam was the one responsible, even though he didn't take the fruit first. Wherefore, as by one man, not by one woman, sin entered into the world. So we have to beware of the tactics of Satan. And so the first judgment day I take it of Scripture is right there in the Garden of Eden. And the Creator God addresses the serpent and all of the things associated with him. But I want to just think of Eve. I was trying to imagine how she would feel that day, as the Creator God would tell her, Eve herself, something about what lies before. She will have multiplied sorrow and conception. She will bring forth children in sorrow. She will be subject to her husband and to his rule. Dear saints of God, those principles have never been withdrawn. And every little one that comes into the world is the great preacher in every culture across our world this afternoon, that we're in a fallen stock. We're away from God in the big picture. She didn't know what she was getting into at that very point. She's still in the garden. But the focus is from the Creator to her. You see, I'll summarize it this way. Satan knew how to attack God's fair creation, and he challenged the truth of headship. That's what it's all about. His tactics were superb. Obviously, under the permissive will of God, he didn't address Adam first. He addressed Eve. And she fell. And the curse that was brought into the universe of God and the world that we live in has turned to a blessing, as we read First Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk about our family. Why? Well, the Bible shows that our family are divided forever. All kinds of things comes into people's minds, and they ask, why was there no children in the garden? God planned it that way, and that day that they went out past the flaming sword that turned every way and the cherubim, even though the Bible doesn't say it, maybe Adam and Eve had a little chat. Goodbye forever to the paradise of God. Eve would say to Adam, we'll never be back again. There's that flaming sword that keeps us from the tree of life. Sorrow from here on out. And I didn't read all the words of the passage, but you all know that God made his first promise as he talks to the serpent. The seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. And Eve obviously took hope in that and faith in that and laid hold upon that in her own experience. And when the first little one came into the world, she says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. You think of our world. We hear the cry of a babe wherever we go. But across the broad acres of earth, when Cain came into the world the first time, the first cry of a babe was ever heard. And as she cuddled him to her bosom, she said, there's big hope for him. But as you all know, he turned out a murderer. Had a tremendous end. As he moves from the presence of God, we hear him say, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And he went out into the land of Nod and finally to eternity. And Jude tells us, woe unto them that have gone in the way of Cain. God was merciful. He gave her other seed. Even beyond Abel, Seth, and all the rest of it. I want to make this statement. Eve recognized this, that you don't raise a family easy. You young folk, we're delighted to see you here today, and you have your little ones round your feet. And I remember when our three were little infants, my mother used to say, whenever they're little, they're a burden on your hands. But whenever they grow to maturity, they're a burden on your heart. I have learned that that's right. I proved it. Many of us are grandfathers here today. And we've gone through it the next time round. And it's more difficult again. And it's a pretty obvious statement to make that nobody raises their family easy. You think of the influences that are external in every department of life today that would ruin our children if they got a chance. That God is still on the throne and he'll remember his own, as we talked about last night. I have only a few minutes. I want you to think of our failure. Somebody says that's negative ministry. Well, it's in the Bible. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll just focus on Eve. I understand the context. Eve was beguiled through the subtlety of Satan. I take it he waited for his approach, and he waited for the exact moment that he could beguile Eve, ensnare her, seduce her. But the disaster came. You see, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, she was deceived. Do you remember what he said? You take this fruit of this tree here of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods. She fell for it. Now, what kind of lessons can we learn here just for a few minutes? Well, I want to talk about the beguiling and the subtlety of Satan. Tells us how the testimony can be marred. And you remember that's in a Corinthian context. And you remember that the Corinthian women weren't displaying headship. 1 Corinthians 11 is very clear. And it would seem that Paul could see that the old devil wants to ruin the testimony through a subtlety, an ensnarement, and so on. I want to tell you, dear saints, here today, that where we travel in the world, and our continent is no exception, that one of the big things in assembly life today, here's the challenge, where people are telling us and teaching us that the great truth of headship is not a requirement. It is. And some dear folk that should know better are teaching us today that the covering of the sisters is optional. I want to tell you today that it's not optional. And there are two coverings required in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to show and fulfill the truth of headship. One is the veil, and the other is the vesture that I can't develop. It would break your very heart to see the way some folk have gone today. They know, they knew better. Some that we used to preach with in earlier years, and they have gone the way of the influence, the subtlety, and the ensnarement of the old devil. No wonder Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, here's another one. You see, the 1 Timothy chapter 2 passage shows that in the testimony, the brethren have their role and the sisters have their role. And we appreciate our sisters. If we didn't have our sisters, the testimony would be lacking. But we thank God for our godly sisters. And we want to try and give them first place. But here's the order. In all our gatherings, the sisters are silent. Well, the teaching here is that Eve, the mother of all living, she was deceived by Satan. And she was relegated to a place after the first judgment day that seemingly the writer takes up here. And he says, now our sisters, our woman, who were in the testimony will be preserved and will be helpful if they keep the sphere that God has given to them. I take it that's the bottom line of verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. They'll be preserved if they keep their place and they bear children, guide the house, as 1 Timothy 5 shows, and all the rest of it. Dear saints of God, that's today been challenged in many places. And so, please make absolutely sure that you know why our sisters are silent. Now, I didn't read the Corinthian passage, but 1 Corinthians 14 shows that they're not permitted to speak. It's an amazing thing that in different places, so-called testimonies, that the women are taken over and the brethren are sitting back. It's not divine order. Oh, that we might learn the challenge of Holy Scripture today. Thank God for our beloved sisters. Their role is to be silent. They don't lead, but the brethren have to lead. I was in a Bible reading some time ago in the western shores of Canada, and the brethren asked me to open the reading, and I was trying to be as helpful as possible, and there was a lull, and none of the brethren were speaking. They were all with their heads and their waistcoats. And all of a sudden this female voice comes out and says, "Brother Stan, what's the answer to this question? Now what would you do?" Somebody spoke out. We have had it even in conferences. Somebody spoke out to the preacher. Well, I think we should be courteous. And on that occasion, I answered the dear lady. But I can tell you this, she never got another chance. The brethren were right in there, right to the end of the meeting. See? So, the Lord help us. Time to stop. I want you to think of her fame. She's looked up to in the Holy Bible and across the generations of the world that we live in, past and present, as the first woman in the world, the first wife, and the first mother. She was first in deception, but she was second in creation. And of course, on the positive side, she's the first bride of Scripture. And it just points us to the finished, completed purpose of God when all of it's over. And the complement of Christ will be at home in heaven. Revelation chapter 5. And he will be the leader of the praise in that day. And every soul from this great dispensation will be safely landed at his feet. And early in your Bible, the first bride along with others, picture the bride of Christ. And so the Lord stir our hearts as we think of these matters. We need to be challenged, dear saints of God, in the very basics today. And our brethren have brought that to our attention. When you think of her formation, what a lovely person she must have been. Maybe you could develop that a bit in your thinking. I have pondered that one often. You think of her future. She had no past. She just had the present and what lay before. And then her fall. And her focus. Her family. Her failure. And her fame. Thank you very much. Time to stop. Let us pray. Our Father, with reverence this afternoon, we bow humbly in thy holy presence. We think before this theme that has been struck, and the great need there is for prayer in all our experiences as believers. We thank thee for the joyful hope, even within our beings today, and that which lies before. Help us to appreciate that in contrast to all others, we have a hope within the veil. We thank thee for the challenge of Holy Scripture, and all of these simple matters need to be attended to in our day. We thank thee for all who have come, and desire today that thou would have all the glory, and that we might be encouraged in our service for thee. We thank thee for the invitation to be here this weekend and to share with our beloved brethren and sisters. Thou hast met the need for our souls, and now for our bodies, this good refreshment and meal we're about to take. Father, we give thanks to Thee for meeting the needs of Thy people and for our beloved sisters who have labored and toiled. It's a labor of love. They'll be well rewarded in this life and in the coming one. We ask for Thy blessing as we continue in the interval and later in the ministry and later still in the gospel. Oh God, have mercy upon us. Save a soul or two, we humbly pray, as we humbly commit our ways to Thee and give thanks for health and strength and for a lovely day in His worthy name. Amen.